In the KS Arto Kitchen, I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash, and we'll introduce a wonderful special guest to you who's going to join Chef John and me during the next hour. We remind folks that the 12th Annual California Artists and Cheese Festival still going on at the fairgrounds. Last night was the Best Bite, a tribute to first responders. Today's the seminars and pairing demos, cheese and cocktails, and tomorrow, bubbles and brunch and the Artisan Cheese Tasting and Marketplace. There are tickets available for those events both today and tomorrow, and of course, the weather's cooperating. Beautiful sunny highs in the mid-60s. You can go to artisancheesefestival.com for all the ticket information. And I attended the Ultimate Best Bites Chefs event last night.
So how was that?
It was so much fun.
Was
there was 20, 30, 35 chefs and restaurateurs that were paired with a specific cheese vendor. And there were beverage producers, of course, juice makers and cider makers, mm-hmm. and beer and wine. And we had some terrific food.
I was going to ask you, what stood out
now,
for you?
I don't know whether these won any awards because we left before.
Well, who cares?
People's choice.
It's what you like.
But what I liked actually was the Girl in the Fig, Sandra Bernstein's wonderful restaurant. They did a Fiscalini Leonza Rye brioche. We love Fiscalini, mm-hmm. cheeses, mm-hmm. with pork belly pastrami, which has become my new fave, aioli and pickled cabbage. It was quite lovely. I also loved the Redwood Empire Food Bank's take on Bellwether Farms whole milk ricotta and Mexican chocolate tamales. Let me tell
you.
Was
it sweet?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. And they also did a pumpkin brown butter tamale with Bellwether Farms Carmody cheese. Mm-hmm. Those were terrific. I also liked a Come Hither Baking's cream puffs with a citrus Nicasio Valley Fromage Blanc mousse. Mm. Those were wonderful. That was a good little sweet treat. Villette. Dustin Villette up in Healdsburg, he went off into another planet. He did a cheesesteak with, now I don't know how to pronounce this, Stout Dairy, S-T-U-Y-T. Are you familiar with
them? I don't know it. Do you?
Yep. Okay, it's cheesesteak with Stout Dairy bacon cheese crisps, Stout Dairy cheese whiz, pepper-crusted smoked beef tenderloin, pickled sweet peppers, and Stout Dairy cheese powder. It was a lot, but it was really good, and I really liked Bistro 29's Pedroso Northern Gold Cheese and Spring Leek Croquette with spiced citrus rhubarb compote.
Mm.
Fantastic. Mm. And one of the big hits for me was Cowgirl Creamery's marvelous pimento cheese on a biscuit.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, being a Kentucky boy, anybody does pimento cheese, they've captured my heart. So anyway, that was last night. It was a whole lot of fun. And if you
and how many people were there?
I don't know. There were hundreds of people.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about being at the Hall of Flowers was there was a lot of room.
Yeah.
That was the nice thing.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't as aesthetic as the Petaluma Sheraton, but boy, you didn't feel crunched or crowded, which was very, very nice. Who is this gal you brought today?
I don't know. She was just outside the door, and I said, come on in, and we'll do something. This is an old friend of mine, Jacqueline Buchanan, and we asked her to come on the show today to kind of talk about, because you have one of the most interesting journeys through the culinary world, and it all started when we were talking about, I think, the first person that you worked seriously with was Judy Rogers in Benicia, I think, a long time ago. And for those who don't know Judy Rogers, she was, before she passed away, but still is, for many people, a godsend. She's the real deal. Anyway, tell us about yourself.
And welcome to the show, JJ. Yeah.
Thank you both.
I've known you for a few years at least, because you were repping some great cheeses, Laura Chanel's and Marin French cheese.
Yes.
Were you on the show years ago?
Yeah.
And you're currently working with the McAvoy folks, with olive oil producers.
That's correct.
We're going to be tasting a little bit of McAvoy oil, some of the McAvoy wine, which I didn't know that they produced wine.
Lovely.
You've also brought in some condiments and jams and jellies, and also some paraphernalia, which I asked you to bring some of your favorite memorabilia paraphernalia, which chronicles your past almost 40 years in the professional world of chefdom. I mean, you're kind of like the Zelig of chefs. You seem to have worked with everyone at the beginning when things happened, going back into the mid-70s,
yeah.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. And it began with Judy. So you
it
have
did
to,
begin with Judy.
Yeah.
Well, Judy Rogers from Zuni Cafe, one of the most
But this was before Zuni.
This was before Zuni, actually. In fact, it was a restaurant in Benicia called the Union Hotel, and she started it with Marion Cunningham. They wrote the recipes and did the menu together. It was a very American, before it became sort of popular and fashionable to do an American restaurant. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. We'll get you some water.
Okay. she was doing fried chicken and wonderful things like that. But I was a culinary student, and I had eaten in the restaurant a couple of times. And once I tasted her food, I was determined that that was where I had to work. And so I was able to, I went there for lunch one time and dinner one time, and I was able to get my courage up and ask her if I could have a job. And she hired me, and I it was the smartest thing I could possibly have done. It absolutely determined the trajectory of everything I did after that.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with J.J. Buchanan, John Ash, and me, Steve Garner, live in the KS Auto Kitchen.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's fun to shop healthy. Your food is fresh and provided by local farmers and ranchers. These farmers offer the freshest local produce and select beef, pork, lamb, chicken, seafood, and freshly made sausage. A variety of cheeses, eggs, and dairy, all at the market. In March, the farmers bring fresh salad mix. Parsons Homegrown is back with delicious organic heirloom tomatoes. Enjoy the Beet Generation's fresh produce and handmade pasta. Shop our creative local artisans and sample warm, fresh pastries and bread. Select one of Dominique's beautiful cherry pies. Enjoy breakfast or lunch from our variety of prepared foods. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, winner of Bohemian's Best of Award, is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center. Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Hey! It's me, your radio. Yeah, I know, I'm usually here playing your favorite song or the news, weather, sports, talk, even traffic. You and I spend a lot of time together, and I was thinking you should advertise your business right here on the radio. Check it out. About 93% of the population listens to the radio each week. And with radio, you can reach the right people with the right message at the right time, at the right cost. I mean, simply put, the dollars you spend on radio advertising generate the best ROI of any media. I bet you didn't know I knew stuff like that, did you? I know what you're thinking. Sounds pretty good, but I have no idea where to start with this radio advertising thing. Surprise! I'm kind of an expert. Tell you what, give us a call today and find out how radio delivers results.
Find out how radio can help promote your business to thousands of potential customers every week. Call me, Kevin Wadlinger, or go to northbayadvertising.com.
Our community loses too many to preventable heart disease. It's time to change. Together, we can work toward a better future and end preventable heart disease. Talk to your family. Talk to your friends. Find out what you can do at checkyourbp.org. We can all take back our health, and we can start today, together. Fight heart disease. Check your blood pressure. Learn more at checkyourbp.org. This message is brought to you by United Way of the Wine Country and the Center for Well-Being. One in five women will die of heart disease, many without warning signs. It's time we change this. Together, we can work toward a better future and end preventable heart disease. Talk to your family. Talk to your friends. Find out what you can do at checkyourbp.org. We can all take back our health, and we can start today. Fight heart disease. Check your blood pressure. Learn more at checkyourbp.org. This message is brought to you by United Way of the Wine Country and the Center for Well-Being.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you're in your home or business and you smell gas, your first step is to get out. Travel to a safe distance until you can't smell the gas anymore, and then call 911. The first responders will come out, and they'll make it safe.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash and J.J. Jacqueline Buchanan, doing a little reminiscing. We'll also give you some ideas about what to cook for Passover, for Easter, I think the first favas should be coming soon, shouldn't they, John? Since it's springtime,
I know that because it's been cold, but they're there. And one of the things I want to remind people about favas, we always tend to get fixated on the bean. The leaves, especially the young leaves, are absolutely delicious.
Do you work with favas too, JJ?
Yes, I love favas, and they make great purees and great in salads and a lot of work. But part of the joy of cooking is that work. Mm-hmm. Is that working with your hands and really enjoying watching the process. But you're right about the vines, about the leaves. They're wonderful in salads and delicious. They have sort of the same flavor.
So you also spent some time at Copia during during the days when it was on fire before it closed.
Exactly. And it really was conceptually a wonderful place. Uh-huh. And I met some fabulous people there and learned so much because of the exposure to just kind of what you guys get exposed to, all of the cookbook authors, all of the people who are cutting edge in the industry. And it was a great experience.
Well, going back to the 70s, can we pick up from where you were working with Judy Rogers and Benicia? And then Judy went off and did her thing to Europe. And where did you go to next?
I started at a little restaurant in San Francisco on Post Street called the Post Street Bar and Cafe. Tiny little 45-seat restaurant. Had been doing microwave nachos. Was in a hotel. And we really pioneered a very new concept there. And it was very shortly after we opened, we were reviewed in Gourmet Magazine. And we went from doing nothing to doing like 200 to 300 covers a night. The kitchen was about as big as, you know, a closet, and it was challenging, but it was exactly what every person who thinks about doing that dreams of, because it was really creating it and then watching it just blossom.
So what was the food back then?
The food at that particular restaurant?
Yeah, and was, at that time.
At that time, it was very much, it was sort of a takeaway from what we did at the Union Hotel. It was very American. It was all locally sourced. It was all about fresh Northern California, clean, simple, nothing too complicated, no French influences, just very, you know, probably if anything, more Italian influences, because it was very, very much about the ingredients.
It's interesting to think, and you and I have talked about this, that this whole idea of fresh California, local, blah, 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 you know, which we just take for granted. Everybody says they do that now, whether they do or not.
Right.
But that was such a unique concept then, wasn't it?
It was, absolutely. Yeah. And when I was working at the Union Hotel, it was right at the beginning of being able to work with a farmer and get goods from a farmer. And I used to meet someone who was a farmer from Marin when I was driving from school, because I was in culinary school, and I would meet him at the base of the bridge, at the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge, to pick up cases of lettuce and so forth, because there was no distribution for it either. Mm. It was just
different times. So we're talking,
times.
Just to clarify, the Benicia Hotel in the Union Hotel in Benicia,
correct.
Not the Union Hotel out in Occidental.
No, that's right. Yeah. And everyone different. Who lives here always goes to that particular place.
So it was from the Union Hotel in Benicia and then to the Post Street Bar and Cafe in San Francisco.
Right.
And then
to
big time.
To the Hayes Street Grill, yes, exactly. And it was, Patty came and we talked.
And this was Patricia Unnerman, who was a very famous restaurant reviewer for the Chronicle
for many
years. Author, has written some great books.
She's a wonderful writer.
And restaurateur with Hayes Street Grill,
absolutely.
Which is still going
And she still is.
She's still there, absolutely. Yeah. Very much there and there every day. Yes, they celebrated their 39th anniversary of being open. And great restaurant to work in, because again, it's not doctrinaire. It's not an Italian restaurant or this kind of a restaurant. It's very much driven by ingredients and all fish, you know, great learning curve on working with fish was amazing. Worked with Monterey Seafood, still did in the beginning and still does. And Paul Johnson also has written a wonderful book on seafood. That's the Bible for me on that.
So you had not had a lot of experience with seafood up until Hay Street Grill. That's where you really...
I don't think anyone has the kind of experience you can get working at any point in time, especially when we're first open, there'd be 15 to 20 different kinds of seafood on the menu every day. And I mean, you can't, nowhere are you going to get that sort of exposure except in a seafood restaurant.
How long were you at Hay Street?
9 years.
on the line? I mean, you were.
I worked on the line when I first started there, and I worked on the line whenever. Whenever anyone was off or out, and I did the pantry when we were always very conscious of getting people out for their curtains because it's right next to Symphony Hall, the Opera House, and so that first rush that we got of everybody getting their appetizers was always very critical because if that wasn't timely, they were not going to get out on time. And so I usually worked.
I have to say, I love your story about being on the grill.
Okay.
And for those who can't,
who
can't see her, JJ's not really tall. You're kind of a petite little thing. And then you had to stand on a box.
I did. The grill was built for guys who ran the grill, although there were a lot of women who worked that grill. But for me, the fire was almost like right in my face. And when it was lunch, I used to stand on a milk crate because it allowed me a little more latitude of moving things around. But when it was busy, you couldn't stand on the milk crate because you were apt to trip yourself or anybody else who was walking around there.
So did you have eyebrows then?
No, I didn't have eyebrows at all. And not very often, but occasionally I singed the front of my hair too. But it was, you know, it didn't matter. I mean, it was so exciting to do that. I don't think that anyone should go into that line of work unless they're passionate about it because it's just drudgery if you don't love it.
It was this gas grill or wood grill?
No, it was a mesquite grill.
So you had built, the fire was built every day?
Absolutely, absolutely. We had a huge shed in the back where we had 50-pound bags of mesquite that we dragged in and lit the fire with.
So let me ask you about, because his name came up, Jeremiah Tower, because that was also at the time in which Stars was really going, and he was kind of the...
About town.
Yes, he was. You know, kind of the. Was there competition among the restaurants, among Hay Street Grill and Stars?
No, I think more love and collaboration than competition. I think that anytime anyone came into either our area or close by, we felt that was good for all of us. Mm-hmm. And we were all friends. We all knew each other. Mm-hmm. And so if we worked in one restaurant, we drank in another one, and we all sort of cruised around and shared friends and stories and knowledge with
one
another.
Is it that way today, do you think? Or is it different?
It's a little hard for me to say. Mm-hmm. I've been in the North Bay for a long time, mm-hmm. and I don't know the back of the house life in the city kitchens mm-hmm. very much anymore.
So
I think it's that way up here.
Were
though.
There a lot more women working the line at Patty's restaurant? Did she hire maybe more women?
I don't think that at any point in time you hired women to hire women. You hired people who could do the job.
Okay.
And I think John and I have talked about this, and I think I was fortunate either by accident or design that I worked primarily in restaurants where women were the chefs or they were the owners. And so when I was running Post Street Bar and Cafe, it was all women. But I didn't do that on purpose. It was just who
worked out
showed up and was good. And
so you did hiring also?
Yes.
All right.
You know, one of the things that was interesting, I know we had this conversation, when I was actively involved in the restaurant world, I always tried to, and it was really very conscious, always tried to have the kitchen, especially, be as much as it could be half and half male and female, because women kind of toned down that testosterone-driven.
The machismo.
Machismo kind of thing, and brought a lighter hand to the food, both in terms of its flavors and presentation and stuff. And guys, you know, they certainly made their contribution too, and it was to really pump it out and do it and all of that. But there seemed to be this magical thing that happened when you had them both and when you treated them equally.
Well, that's the key right there, is treating them equally. I think that there is a difference in the way genders approach food. Mm-hmm. And I think women, just to put a note on that, I think women can crank it out too, mm-hmm. myself included. But I do think that, in fact, I had a conversation once with, what's the difference between the way men cook and the way women cook? And women, what this person said was, women cook to nourish and men cook to impress. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an oversimplification, mm-hmm. but I think there is some truth to that.
Jackie Buchanan, Chef J.J. Buchanan, joining John Ash and me. We want to do a little tasting, but we also want to get to some of the memorabilia you brought. You brought a photo today. And what is the significance and the importance of this photo that you brought?
The photo is of my grandmother and grandfather's general store in Sycamore, Pennsylvania, which is where I grew up, population 82.
Where is Sycamore?
Sycamore, Pennsylvania is 50 miles south of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, upper Appalachians. Mm. I'm a Billy, proud, loud and proud. Mm. And my grandmother's general store was sort of the mission central of everything that went on in that part of the world. And one of the reasons I brought it was because I grew up, first of all, with very strong and empowered women who ran businesses, and my grandmother was one of them. But we also were very involved with all the local farmers and sold their produce. And often people would barter because they didn't have the money to perhaps buy the things that they needed. And so when I was growing up, chickens came to our house Sunday morning live, and we got them ready for dinner. And so that was a big influence on how I approached.
So it was truly farm to table.
Yes, exactly. And I laugh now when I hear that. I would love to know what my grandmother would think of that phrase.
So coming from a general store in Sycamore, Pennsylvania, was your upbringing. Did you work in the store?
I did work in the store. I loved working in the store. And stocking shelves and talking to the customers. Yeah, it was great fun.
What else did you bring, Jackie?
I brought two Judy Rogers paraphernalias, one of which is a book that she gave me for my birthday in 1982. And it's Edna Lewis's book, The Taste of Country Cooking. And I told John that I actually got to meet Edna. She came for dinner one time when I was at the Union Hotel. And it still sort of takes my breath away. She was quite extraordinary.
For those that don't know, who was Edna Lewis?
Well, it's difficult to encapsulate exactly what she did, but she came. Her history is very interesting, and I encourage anyone who's interested in culinary history to learn about her. She was a woman who came up from the South in Freestone was the name of her town. It was a freed slaves town that they started, and that's where she grew up. But she came to New York and opened a restaurant and was a sort of spokesperson for the kind of cooking that she grew up with in the South.
And certainly in the same breath as James Beard encapsulated all that was great about American cooking. That's not an overstatement, would you say?
No, no. Definitely not. No. Definitely not
really
an overstatement.
Really honored American cooking, both
yes,
of them.
Yes, yes.
You know, and didn't try to gussy it up.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. Didn't need gussying when it's that good.
Yeah. What's the name of the book?
The book is The Taste of Country Cooking, and it's an older book, and there are some newer ones. Then she worked with Scott
Peacock.
And has written, there's some books that they've done together that are all, I have them all, they're all wonderful, but this was a very early one. And then the other little piece of paraphernalia, Judy Rogers, when she worked at the Union Hotel, often wore a skirt or a dress. She did not ever wear chef coats or pants. And this was a skirt that she wore for many years. And when it finally bit the dust, she made potholders for all of us out of it.
You're kidding. Oh, that's great.
You know, what we're going to have our producer, Mike, take a photo of this and put this on the Good Food Hour website. And we'll title this Potholder Made from Skirt of Judy Rogers, former owner of Zuni Cafe San Francisco. Would that work?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I think she would approve of that.
It's just marvelous. We'll take a break. It's the half-hour point for a bit of news. We'll come back. We'll also start to do a little tasting, and we'll continue the trajectory of cooking throughout Northern California with Chef J.J. Buchanan. Spent most of the time in Northern California, in the South Bay, East Bay, San Francisco, and then came up to Sonoma County in the mid-90s to help open a very influential restaurant here in Sonoma County. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO Kitchen.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's fun to shop healthy. Your food is fresh and provided by local farmers and ranchers. These farmers offer the freshest local produce and select beef, pork, lamb, chicken, seafood, and freshly made sausage. A variety of cheeses, eggs, and dairy, all at the market. In March, the farmers bring fresh salad mix. Parsons Homegrown is back with delicious organic heirloom tomatoes. Enjoy the Beet Generation's fresh produce and handmade pasta. Shop our creative local artisans and sample warm, fresh pastries and bread. select one of Dominique's beautiful cherry pies. Enjoy breakfast or lunch from a variety of prepared foods. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, winner of Bohemian's Best of Award, is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Creams Towing, this is Arlene.
You know Creams Towing for cars, but Creams Towing can handle even the biggest jobs. Need a motorhome towed? Call Creams. Are you a rancher that needs large equipment moved? Tractors or horse transport trailers are no problem for Creams Towing.
Just call Arlene at Creams, 588-1250. Creams Towing, this is Arlene. With competitive rates and certified Class A drivers, Creams can tow 24/7. They can handle rollovers, heavy-duty accident recovery, and winch out.
Are you a Class A driver looking for a great company to work for? Interested in learning the towing business? Creams is expanding and wants to add several drivers. With the largest fleet of medium and heavy-duty transport vehicles in the area, including a state-of-the-art 50-ton wrecker, you'll learn from the best. Openings for Class A and C. Creams will teach the right candidates.
Be a hero on the highway. Call Creams, 588-1250.
I'm John Russos. The Santa Rosa office of my firm, Cutter Law, is working with victims of the North Bay fires. If you're a fire victim, bring in your insurance policy for a free consultation. Then we will take action on your behalf against the company that caused the fire that took your home. The hardest part for people is knowing where to start. You have a mountain in front of you. You've lost everything that you ever had, and you got to figure out where you're going to take this mountain on. Is it with the personal property? How do you even put together a spreadsheet, a table, a list of everything that you used to have? You need somebody who's been through this before and somebody that can have your back and also tell you when people are doing the right thing. There's nothing like having somebody that's been through it before to help you figure out how to get through it on your own. Contact our Santa Rosa office for a free consultation. Call Cutter Law Santa Rosa at 306-0540. Call 306-0540. We can help.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Most of the rain is behind us. Just a few showers this afternoon. High 52, 50 on the coast. Light rain tonight. Low 37, 39 on the shores. Mostly clear skies for tomorrow at 58, 53 in Bodega Bay. Sunny for Monday at 64, 59 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, celebrating 31 years in the Chaos Arnold Kitchen as we welcome J.J. Buchanan, Chef Jacqueline Buchanan, who's worked at some great restaurants in the Bay Area, and then in the mid-90s came to Sonoma County. What brought you up here?
I was living up here. My husband and I moved up here, and he was actually working for Carmenet as a vineyard manager. And I had driven to the city long enough. I'd commuted long enough. I was ready to stay at home. And so we decided to look for a job in Sonoma County and wound up opening The General's Daughter,
which is that beautiful restaurant in Sonoma. Who owned it originally?
Suzanne Brangham. Yeah, she conceptualized it. What an amazing, talk about amazing women. She's incredible. And she remodeled that building, which was a historic building, Vallejo's daughter's home, and opened the restaurant with her.
That was mid-1990s, and what a beautiful spot that is.
It is.
And then from General's Daughter, you were there for a couple of years or so. Where to next?
Skywalker Ranch, Lucasfilm.
How was that?
I loved working there. First of all, anyone who's worked, John will understand this. I went from working nights and weekends every holiday to working Monday through Friday lunch. I didn't know that was even possible.
How did that come about?
It was really interesting. Actually, I was at a party and someone mentioned that they were looking, and I followed up on it. It was a very long process. They were very careful in their hiring. You didn't just show up at Lucasfilm and get a job. So, and they vetted me forever, but I worked in the main house originally, which is where George ate pretty much every day. And it was a wonderful experience. I mean, beautiful spot. We had a farm. We had a great, brilliant farmer and got to be able to work with him and actually ask him to plant things and grow things for us. I loved that job.
So you worked there on two different occasions.
I did. I worked there and then I worked for my husband and I had a business and then I went back to work there.
Wow. And was that your last restaurant cooking experience?
Yes, it was, because I went to Copia after that.
And what was that like?
Copia? Copia was brilliant. I mean, it was crazy. John's nodding knowingly. I think that it was probably an idea a little ahead of its time. Mm-hmm. I think that if it were to open now, it would probably be able to succeed and survive.
So for those who don't know what Copia is, can you what was it?
Right. Well, Julia Child and Robert Mondavi started it, and it was 2001. I know it was right near 9/11. I can't remember exactly when it started, but it conceptually was to be a destination place in Napa for culinary, wine, and art. And it was all of that. It was really they had amazing exhibits and, you know, social comment exhibits. I remember the first exhibit I saw when I was just thinking about working there was a story about the Hmong people, the farmers who came over after the Vietnam War. And just, it was really exciting because they brought all of the social context together in the food and wine world. And it was brilliant. But yeah, I think that maybe the direction wasn't quite clear. Mm-hmm.
And did you teach cooking classes at Copia?
Yes, I did.
And after Copia, how did the Bauman College start? That you were the lead instructor at Bauman College.
Right. I spent the last 2 years before I started at McAvoy as the program director at Bauman. When I was at Lucasfilm, because there was such, you were really cooking for your family. The people who ate there were a lot of people who came in to work on films and to work on music, but the primary people who ate there every day were people who worked there, and they ate there all the time. Mm-hmm. And increasingly, people would come to me and say, I have celiac, or I have this kind of a problem, and there were different issues, and I thought, wow, I don't really know enough about how to feed people who have these conditions and issues and so forth. And that was true for some of the film people who came in. They would have dietary restrictions or things. And so I decided to go back to school, and I took the course, the nutrition consultant certification at Bauman. Mm-hmm. And they were looking for a program director a couple of years ago. And so I went back to run the chef program. And teaching the chef program.
Teaching would-be chefs how to incorporate all that knowledge into their cuisine.
That's correct, with a nutrition focus, yes.
So that was another part of your career and arc that you had not really explored until recently, last 7, 8, 5, 6 years or so.
Right.
Okay, so now we're up to the present, and you're with McAvoy.
Right.
Which, for your money, produces some of the best olive oil in the country.
Without question. And it was started by, and if you could just talk just briefly about her.
Oh, it's so much fun to talk about Nan McAvoy. I said that to John earlier, as a woman, to have someone like her as a role model. She was so amazing. She started McAvoy Olive Ranch when she was in her 70s. But she was a DeYoung. She was born in the DeYoung family in San Francisco. And early on, worked in Washington. She was involved during the Kennedy administration years, and she was involved in the Peace Corps. She was a cub reporter at the Chronicle and worked at the Chronicle on the board of directors for many years. And when she retired was when she bought the ranch.
In Petaluma.
In Petaluma. It's actually a Petaluma address, but it's physically in Marin County, just over the line, just over the border. But it's a spectacular piece of property. And when she bought the ranch, she needed to continue in agriculture if she was going to develop it. Mm-hmm. And Nan was, I mean, I call her Nan, and every time I do that, I think that's showing a little less respect than I should, because I did not know her, and she was such an amazing woman, but everyone fondly calls her Nan at work. And she decided not to do the typical thing. She wasn't going to do a winery, because everybody was doing wineries, and she said she didn't think she wanted to raise cows. And I think that it was her son, Nyon, who gave her a book on Tuscany about olives and olive oil, and she fell in love with that concept and hired a gentleman named Maurizio Castelli to come over and help be her expert and help her plant. And he's still involved now with the olives and with the winemaking. And that's how it started.
People can visit McEvoy?
Yes, absolutely. We encourage it. It's really a very special place on the planet. It's so beautiful. Views are beautiful. It's very well cared for. The people who run it now and care for it are very invested in having it stay as beautiful and pristine as it's always been.
How many varieties of olive oil are you producing now?
There's a traditional blend, which we come out with every year, and a limited edition, which just came out, I think, Thursday this week was the release date of that. We do an Oleo Nuovo, which is usually, I think, December 1 last year is when we released the Oleo Nuovo. And we're just about to release. I brought you, before release, the jalapeno. We do a jalapeno oil and a lemon oil, Agrumoto method, which means that the jalapenos and the lemons are crushed with the olives. It's not an essence or something that's put in afterwards.
Not an infusion.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's all crushed together. Yeah. And the olive oil we're going to release on Cinco de Mayo, the jalapeno oil. But I brought some today for us to taste. Mm, and it is delicious.
That's exciting. So we're going to taste a little bit of oil after this break.
Okay.
And you've also brought some jarred products.
Yes.
What are those?
We have some tapenades. It's a great website. I mean, it'll give you a sense of what the ranch looks like. It's very beautifully done. But we supplemented the olive oil with a few products that are really a good balance with the other things we do. And tapenades and bruschettas and Meyer lemon curd is something that we've done for a long time because we have lots of Meyer lemons on the ranch. And this year we came out with a raspberry curd, which is brand new for us. Mm-hmm. That will be delicious.
And if time permits, we'll also look at some of the McEvoy wines, which I'm not familiar with. And you said that they have limited distribution. But
yes. It's something that they started in, I think it was 2010 was the first release. And they interplanted the trees with the olives, which is a very Tuscan thing to do. But we have a limited amount of planting of grapevines. And the intention, I think, is to partner with local producers, with local small vineyards, rather than to plant more. Uh-huh. I think that they want to keep the footprint of planted area to be pretty small. I think their intention is to keep that wild in the way it was when they moved on.
Chef Jay Buchanan joining Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner, in the KSRO kitchen. Back after this.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Digital Pro Kim Commando, and I'm here Sundays, noon to 3, on KSRO.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's fun to shop healthy. Your food is fresh and provided by local farmers and ranchers. These farmers offer the freshest local produce and select beef, pork, lamb, chicken, seafood, and freshly made sausage. A variety of cheeses, eggs, and dairy, all at the market. In March, the farmers bring fresh salad mix. Parsons Homegrown is back with delicious organic heirloom tomatoes. Enjoy the Beet Generation's fresh produce and handmade pasta. Shop our creative local artisans and sample warm, fresh pastries and bread. Select one of Dominique's beautiful cherry pies. Enjoy breakfast or lunch from our variety of prepared foods. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, winner of Bohemian's Best of Award, is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
And now, here's a health update from the Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District.
In Sonoma and Marin counties, being outdoors hiking, camping, and enjoying the fresh air is what we do. Living in the tall grasses on the hillsides and the fallen leaves along the trails are ticks. Ticks are year-round in Marin and Sonoma counties, so be sure to protect yourself from ticks and tick-borne diseases by applying a repellent containing DEET to exposed skin. Wear light-colored clothing with long sleeves and long pants and check yourself for ticks. Don't forget to check your pets for ticks, too.
The Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District is an independent special district committed to protecting public health from mosquitoes and vector-borne disease. All programs and services are funded through benefit assessments and property taxes. Services are provided to all residents in Marin and Sonoma counties at no additional charge.
Learn more about ticks at msmosquito.com.
Hey there, Sonoma County. This is George Adair, host of The Lone Show on KSRO. I'm inviting KSRO listeners to join me on Wednesday at 12 for a lighthearted but informative look at mortgage and real estate matters that affect you. I want your calls and questions, so join me for The Lone Show on KSRO.
The Lone Show with George Adair from Bay Equity Home Loans. Wednesdays at noon on 1350 AM and 103.5 FM KSRO.
This month at Graton Resort and Casino, we're giving away a new truck, cash, and more. Multiplier Wednesdays, get up to 7 times the points. On Thursdays, turn points into slot play and win up to $30,000 in prizes. And enter the Tundras and Cash giveaway on March 25th. You could win a Toyota Tundra. Plus, sign up for Graton Rewards and you could get up to $500 in free play. Learn more at GratonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Reward Center.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash and reminiscing with Chef J.J. Buchanan, who's currently with McAvoy after 35, 40 plus years cooking in some of the best restaurants in the San Francisco Bay Area. So we're starting our little olive oil tasting. What's first?
Actually, let's start with the traditional blend, the extra virgin traditional blend.
And this is a new oil from McAvoy.
No, actually, this is the one that we started with. This is the one that has won lots of gold medals and kind of put them on the map. The Orange County Fair, I think, was the one, the first one.
Supposed to, I know, bring some air in with that, isn't it?
You're supposed to make that sucking sound, you know. Who was that politician that talked about the great big sucking sound?
Well, we always say when you can tell when people are tasting the olive oil in the tasting room, in the wine tasting room, because they're coughing. Mm-hmm. Because it is a Tuscan, it's a blend of Tuscan varietals, and it has that spicy heat in the back of the throat.
I've heard that you actually judge an oil by, is it a one cough, two cough, three cough?
Perfect, you're right.
But we didn't cough at all.
No.
We didn't cough.
Well, being very polite.
Yeah.
So what's the blend of this oil?
It's a blend of seven Tuscan varietals. Are you going to make me pronounce them all? No. Lacino, Pendolino, Marino, Lacino di Corno, Moriolo, Coratino, and Frantoio.
Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, I guess. Do you notice they all have an O on the end?
Yes. And with a vowel. We're in Italy, after all. Yeah.
So this blend doesn't change year to year.
No, it doesn't. Much. And it's a field blend. It's basically what's planted all over the ranch.
It's really delicious. And this is not an oil that you would cook with necessarily. It's really a finishing oil, isn't it? What do you think?
That's a huge point of discussion and in general about high quality olive oils like that. I cook with it all the time because oils that have those high polyphenols, really good quality oils, are perfectly fine to cook with. There's sort of a myth about the fact that you can't cook in high heat. And I mean, I wouldn't put it in a deep fryer, but honestly, there's no degradation that's going to happen in that oil when you cook
it. Well,
and
it's true in Italy. They use great oil to cook with.
Absolutely. Yeah. They wouldn't think of using an inferior oil to cook with. No,
well, this is beautiful. And what about the jalapeno? Is that next?
The jalapeno oil I brought you because it's not even released yet. We're going to actually release it for Cinco de Mayo. We're going to release a jalapeno oil and a lemon oil this year. We've done lemon oil before. This is the first year we've done jalapeno oil. And it's agrumoto method, which means that the jalapenos and the lemons are crushed with the grapes. It's not an infusion or something that's added afterwards. I'm sorry, with the olives. I was making wine instead of olive oil, sorry. But they're crushed together. And
it is so fragrant.
It is. I love the jalapeno oil. The lemon oil is wonderful too, but it's so exciting. And it's hot. It has a little heat, but really it's more peppery. It tastes, we were discussing earlier that I love the way jalapenos taste. Mm-hmm. The heat's, you can add as much or as little as you like, but jalapenos have wonderful flavor. And
so how would you use us?
I would drizzle this on things. And the first thought I had when I tasted that was corn. And to put it on either a corn chowder or a corn risotto or just on corn, grilled corn, and drizzle it over with some cheese. But I did a wonderful slaw with it and a corn and black bean salad with it. It just adds so much. It's delicious.
It's marvelous. We'll be back. Mm-hmm. We'll do a little more tasting with Jackie Buchanan, our special salute to her great career, which is far from over. Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash in the KS Arto Kitchen.
Traffic on the fives and weather six times an hour, mornings on FM News Talk Radio, KSRO.
Hi, I'm former State Senator Noreen Evans. I'm proud to be part of a legal team representing over 700 of our neighbors in the lawsuit against PG&E for the October wildfires. Our team believes that representing you is about more than just filing a lawsuit. We provide our clients with resources to help rebuild and recover. Whether it's informational workshops on recovery issues or helping with insurance claims, we believe in putting our clients first, in and out of the courtroom. To learn more and join the hundreds who have taken action, visit our website at pgelawsuit.com or call us at 707-237-2445. We hold town hall meetings twice a week at our offices located at 70 Stony Point Road, Suite A, Santa Rosa. Our next town hall meetings are Thursday, March 22nd from 5:30 to 7 p.m. and Saturday, March 24th from 9 to 11 a.m. We hope to see you there.
John Cox of the Law Offices of John Cox is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Fantastic. Mm. Terrific. Excellent. Tantalizing. Best ever. Amazing. Delicious. Incredible. Delightful. Wonderful. Delectable. Scrumptious. Simply awesome.
Not just a description, but an experience. La Vera Pizza is a culmination of culinary delight that you'll never forget. Tempt yourself with the taste of La Vera Pizza's artisan pizzas, like our spicy spesto, Mushroom Mania, or National award-winning pizza, the Prima. And you'll also love La Vera Pizza's exquisite entrees, like our luscious lasagna, captivating calzone, and our ravishing ravioli. Old world taste brought to a new level of description. La Vera Pizza.
Positively palate provocative perfection.
Find out for yourself at La Vera Pizza in downtown Santa Rosa. Open every day. Call 575-1113. La Vera Pizza.
Beyond description.
For over 80 years, George Peterson Insurance has been protecting Northern California, helping businesses and individuals get the right coverage for their needs. George Peterson Insurance continues to grow their employer resources and services in the North Bay. So if you or your company needs personal insurance, business insurance, or help with employee benefits, George Peterson Insurance is committed to this promise. We've got your back. George Peterson Insurance Agency at gpins.com, license number 0603247.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO Kitchen, joined by special guest J.J. Buchanan, Chef Buchanan, joining John and me today for a tasting of some of the McAvoy products. Yeah, I did ask you to bring something for the show-and-tell portion of the program. I noticed a kitchen implement, your tool you brought with you. What's the significance of that?
This belonged to my mother. And it is a Foley food fork. And I wouldn't know what that was. But at one point in time, there was a traveling salesperson who came around like the Fuller Brush Man. And he came to our door and sold my mother this piece of equipment. And I got my spyglass out, and it says Hong Kong on the back. I was hoping it had something more interesting to say. But it looks vintage, as you can see, and it really is amazing. You can use it like a spider, mm-hmm. pulling things mm-hmm. out of a deep fry or whatever. But it was meant to mash up burger when you were making spaghetti sauce.
You're kidding.
No, that was what it was for. That's what my mother used it for.
So. It's beautiful.
It is.
You've also portioned out some tapenade and bruschetta. Which one should we taste first?
I would taste the bruschetta, the cherry pepper bruschetta first.
Okay. And what's in here?
What is in here is, I'm going to read you the ingredients, tomatoes, red cherry peppers, onions, extra virgin olive oil, balsamic vinegar. And it's really, I'm a big believer in having things in your pantry. People show up at my house often, and I need to feed them. In fact, Lynn last night got to eat bruschettas because I was taking some photographs like here. But it's such an ace to have something like that because you can make pasta with it. You can make bruschetta with it.
So I'm reading on the side of it, and it's true that it's the cherry peppers that give it make it special.
Yes, you know, it's true. Yeah. I mean, it's cherry peppers are delicious. Mm. I mean, they really add a sweetness, but still that pepper flavor. Mm. And this is, I mean, I've done a million things with it. It's a great thing to have.
And then the tapenade.
The tapenade is a black olive tapenade. That was a product I think that we had originally, and then it dropped out of sight. But it just we just brought it back. I love that. That's the sound every chef is looking for. And when somebody puts something in their mouth, that's what you want to hear. And that is, I love this. It's very clean. It's very simple. It's not. It doesn't have a bunch of competing things going on. A little like citrus zest in there. And it's delicious. It's absolutely delicious.
Do you use it the same way you use bruschetta or different?
I tend to use it a little bit differently. You can. You certainly can make bruschetta with it. But I made a great sauce for grilled tuna with it, and I diluted it with a little balsamic, some shallots, and put some orange juice and some orange zest in it. It was delicious on a piece of grilled
tuna. You know,
tuna.
My favorite way to use this is just soften butter and beat it into the butter and make a compound
perfect.
Butter and let it melt over the top of anything.
That is perfect. Yeah. And the great thing about that is you can have that in your freezer, in your refrigerator. And it's just there to use.
I'm so glad you both are talking about this, because when I usually see bruschetta or tapenade, I think of a canapé. I think of just an hors d'oeuvre, a little cheese, a little one of the tapenade, and there's so many other ways of using these products.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Should we end with a sweet note?
Mm. Yes.
Always good to end with a sweet note. We've made Meyer lemon curd for a while, but we came out this year with a new raspberry curd, and it's a glorious color. It really is a beautiful color. And I think quite delicious.
Mm. And what's in this? What is in this raspberry?
Basically
curd?
Sugar, raspberries, lemon juice, ooh, eggs, and butter. Pretty straightforward. That's a
you
list of ingredients you can live with.
About it. It's not too sweet.
Right.
It's sweet enough,
yes.
but not so sickening.
Not cloying.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic.
That's such a delicate balance when things are sweet. And I think Americans, unfortunately, do tend to lean a little heavy on the sweet side. And it's so lovely when you can taste something that's balanced.
That's fantastic. This is a brand new product.
Brand new product for us.
And so where can people find it?
At the Ferry Building, at the Ferry Plaza, where we have a store, and also at the ranch. Mm. And I'm sure that this will be turning up probably at Oliver's and a few other places.
And can people order online? These things?
Yes. Yes. Thank you. We definitely have a very robust online business.
So what would you use this for?
The lemon curd? Mm-hmm. A good English muffin.
Or the raspberry curd? Yeah.
A good English muffin, put it on ice cream. Something, I shouldn't mix my metaphors here, but something that I used to do at Laura Chanel was I mixed their soft, fresh goat cheese with lemon curd and used it as an ice cream sandwich filling. So you could certainly do that with this.
Or with the raspberry curd.
With the raspberry curd, it would be glorious.
Mm. Wow. And the lemon curd, we're not going to taste, but people can make lemon curd, of course, and they can make raspberry curd, too, if they're so inclined.
Right.
Right? Well, we've got Meyer lemons and everything else. What varietals of wines are you doing at this point?
We are doing, we actually have increased the number of varietals we're doing because, as I said, we're partnering with some other small growers in the area. We're doing a Chardonnay. We're doing a Viognier, which is a new release for us. But the Pinot Noir is from our vineyards. It's estate grown. And the Rosebud Rosé is not estate grown from this vintage. It was from the prior vintage, but we actually bought some grapes for the rosé. It's a Syrah, and I need my notes. It's a Syrah, and it was a Syrah blend when it was just ours. And this one, I am stumbling around here, but it's
okay.
It's delicious, and it's perfect with seafood. That's always what I'm looking for, is something that pairs really nicely with this current release of Rosebud. The 2016 Rosebud is Syrah and Pinot Noir, 68% Syrah and 32% Pinot. And it's from the grapes are from Carneros, Sonoma Coast, and some from Napa.
Well, we don't have a chance to taste them today, but nice to know that they're available. Thank you for coming in. Mm-hmm. This is a wonderful quick hour, and delightful to hear about your past goings on.
It wasn't a trip down memory lane.
It was a great trip. Next week, we're going to do Noodle Mania. Professor Cannavato come from Stockton, University of the Pacific, is coming
When you
in.
Told me about this, it sounds so fascinating.
He's an incredible food historian, teaches food history and culture at the University of Pacific in Stockton. And he'll be driving in to join us live in the KSRO kitchen to celebrate the release of his new Noodle Mania book. Okay?
Okay.
It's a date then. Jackie, thanks for coming in today.
A pleasure. Thank you
Clark Wolf at the table following the news. This is KSRO Santa Rosa.